طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Okay, this is our 11th session from Arabic Lessons in Hadith, Level 2, Al-Mustawa Thani, from the Arabic Institute, Islamic University of Medina. This week, inshallah, being our 11th session, we'll be taking our 11th Hadith, which means that we have completed half of the curriculum, yani with the 10th Hadith. So today, inshallah, we're going into the second half, second set of hadith, the 11th hadith, which is a hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar, and the hadith is reported by Abu Dawood, and Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, said in his examination of the Sunan of Abu Dawood, he said that it is sahih. And he also mentioned it in Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahihah, that is Sahih, and he mentioned in the Irwa al-Galil, that is Sahih. So there are a number of references for this hadith. It is an authentic hadith. And there are any various narrations of this hadith with slightly different wordings. And even this particular narration of the hadith that's reported by Abu Dawood is also reported by al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, and Al-Bayhaqi in his Sunan, and Al-Imam Ahmed in the Musnad. So this hadith is reported by a lot of hadith scholars, and it is an authentic, reliable hadith. Yani our discussion concerning this hadith today is relatively brief. So according to the time that we have, we'll see what we can add to what has been mentioned here in the book, a few comments here and there. And additionally, inshallah, we will review some of the hadith that we had taken previously. I think last week we reviewed the first four hadith, right? No. First four, right? 1 through 4. Okay, so today, inshallah, we're going to review a few more, maybe 2 or 3 hadith. We're going to try to review a couple of hadith each week so that we don't forget what we have memorized already. So before we look at this hadith, we want to quickly review the fifth hadith, and maybe the 6th and 7th. We'll just take a few minutes, maybe 5 or 10 minutes at the most, to review, and then we'll go into the hadith number 11 for today on page 26. Okay, so hadith number 5 is a hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim, and it is narrated by Uthman ibn Affan. Who has memorized it? Mustafa, now. Try to recite slow and loud and clear.
من بنى لله مسجدا بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة رواه مسلم.
رواه مسلم، جيد. يعني عن عثمان رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بنى لله مسجدا بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة رواه مسلم. يعني whoever builds for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, sincerely for the sake of Allah, whoever builds a masjid for the sake of Allah, Allah will build for him or her a house in the paradise. Reported by Imam Muslim. Anybody else memorize this hadith? Now, let's go. You want to go first?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Go ahead, no problem.
Bana Allahu
Baytan
Fil
Jannati. Naam. Rawahu, reported by
Muslim.
Ahsant. Tayyib, Nasir?
bana lillahi masjidan baitan.
Masjidan?
Man bana lillahi masjidan baitan.
Bana Allahu.
Man bana lillahi masjidan bana Allahu baitan fil jannah.
Bana Allahu lahu.
Man bana lillahi masjidan bana Allahu lahu baitan fil jannah.
Ahsant. طيب, anybody else want to recite this hadith? طيب, this was the نعم. Did you raise your hand?
Yeah, I did.
فضل. طالب, go ahead.
عن عثمان رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بنى لله مسجدا بنى الله له بيتا في المسجد
في
جنتي
رواه مسلم أحسن. طيب, let's look at the next hadith. That was hadith number 5. Let's look also quickly at hadith number 6. يعني a hadith that's reported by Ahmed, Abu Dawud and Nasa'i on the authority of Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه. Anybody memorize this hadith? Hadith number 6. نعم.
إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ حريرا وأخذ
أخذ حريرا فجعله
في يمينه وأخذ
عليكم السلام
ذهبا فجعله في شماله
ثم قال
إن هذين حرام لذكور
على
ذكر أمتي.
أها, رواه
أحمد
أبو داود النسائي. نعم. طيب, anybody else memorize this hadith? Hadith number 6, hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه. طيب, this is يعني the 6th hadith, and we maybe will take one more hadith. يعني the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه is the hadith in which he reported. He said, عن علي ابن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال إن. Remember, إن is always used, إن and أن. إن is always used in the beginning of the sentence or after قال, or after قال يقول قل. يعني إن is always used in the beginning of a sentence and after qala. Otherwise, anna is used. So here we have qala, right? So it should be inna. Inna is always used in the beginning of a sentence or after qala. So be careful between the use of inna and anna. يعني عن أبي عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ حريرا فجعله في يمينه وأخذ ذهبا فجعله في شماله ثم قال إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي. And this hadith is reported by Ahmed, Abu Dawud and Nasa'i, and in the narration of Ibn Majah it has also حل لإناثهم. يعني that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم took some silk and he placed it in his right hand, and he took some gold and placed it in his left hand, and then he said, indeed these two things, yani silk and gold, have been yani what? Haram, made forbidden for the males of my ummah. And in the narration of Ibn Majah says, and they are lawful for the females, for their females, yani the Muslim women. Type one more hadith and then we're gonna go to the hadith for today. This is the last hadith we'll review today, the 7th hadith, hadith that is reported from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and it is muttafaqun alayhi. Okay, who would like to recite this hadith? Nasir.
An Abi Hurairah radiallahu
anhu. Alaykum salam.
Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma baina baiti wa mimbari radatun min riyadil jannah.
متفق عليه. نعم, يعني حديث أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة متفق عليه. يعني Abu Hurairah said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يعني the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that which is between my house and my minbar is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Reported, يعني متفق عليه, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Anybody else like to recite this hadith from memory? Naam, Mustafa.
Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma bayna bayti wa minbari.
Alaykum salam. Rawda?
Min riyadi jannati mutafakun alayhi.
Naam, anybody else? Anybody else? Fayyib. Every week, inshallah, we're going to try to review at least two or three hadith according to whatever time we have and the length of the discussion of the hadith for that week. If the discussion is shorter, we'll try to review a few more hadith. If it's longer, then we'll review less. But every week, inshallah, we should try to review something so that we don't forget what we have learned. And it's incumbent upon you to learn these hadith as we come to them. Don't let them pile up on you. Memorize them weekly and review them every day. Even if you just take 5 or 10 minutes, just to read through the hadith quickly every day so that it doesn't slip out of your memory. Okay, the hadith that we're going to take today is the 11th hadith on page 26 and 27 of our notes. At the top of the page it says Ad-Darsu Al-Hadi Ashara. Ad-Darsu Al-Hadi Ashara, meaning lesson 11 or the 11th lesson. An ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد. If you join these words together, لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد وبيوتهن خير لهن. رواه أبو داود. Okay, let's look at the hadith briefly in terms of the meaning of the words and any other important points that we might derive from it. Let me get this stick so I can reach point to the board a little bit easier. Now, okay, so the beginning of the hadith, we see an, right? An is normally written with sukoon, originally. But here we see that there's kasra. Why is there kasra here? Because it's followed by hamzatul wasl. So in order to join the word that ends with sukoon, that's followed by hamzatul wasl, we have to add a vowel. In this case, we add kasra. So it became, instead of an ibni, it became an ibni. Yani joining them together, hamzatul wasl here. An ibni, yani ibni is with kasra, it's majroor because of what? Because of an. The preposition harf jar an. An ibni, umara. Umara, we see it ends with fatta. What is the i'rab of this word umar here? Mudhafun ilayhi, yani it's mudhaf to ibn, ibni Umar, right? Mudhafun ilayhi, which is, should be what? Should be, it's majroor, mudhafun ilayhi majroor, but instead of, yani the sign of it being majroor, being kasra, it's fatta. Why is that? Your shoes, brother, your shoes. Pay attention, please. Okay, instead of it taking kasra as being mamnu min as-sarf, it's taking fatta. Why is that? Because it's mamnu min as-sarf. Now, because it's mamnu. Hey, brother, come up here if you want to sit in here. Come up. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Yeah, you can listen, but you gotta.
You can't come in the masjid now. Like this.
Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. طيب open. طيب. Okay, so يعني we were looking at this word Umar and we're saying that it is mudafun ilayhi majrur and the sign that is open it, open the door. The sign that is majrur is fatta because it's mamnu' min as-sarf and words that are mamnu' min as-sarf when they are majrur they don't take kasra. An ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu qal قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني on the authority of Ibn Umar may Allah be pleased with him should be عنهما نعم جزاك الله خير يعني why is it عنهما يعني may Allah be pleased with both of them يعني that is Abdullah and his father Umar. Yani Ibn Umar is Abdullah Ibn Umar. So may Allah be pleased with Abdullah and his father Umar Ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد وبيوتهن خير لهن. لا تمنعوا, do not prohibit. Do not prevent nisa'akum, your women. Your women includes your wives, your sisters, your daughters, whoever you're responsible for from amongst the women. La tamna'u nisa'akum. Do not prevent your women al-masajida, yani from going to the masjids, from going to the masjid for worship. Wa buyutuhunna, yani buyut is the plural of bait. Buyutuhunna, their houses, meaning prayer in their houses, is khayrun lahunna, is better for them. Here we just want to note that this word tamna'u originally is what? Tamna'una. Tamna'una. But here the noon is deleted because of what? Because of la. What type of la is this? Nahiyah. Okay, we want to distinguish between la and nahiyah and la and nafiyah. Okay, la and nafiyah means something is negated. La and nahiyah means something is prohibited. So this is la and nahiyah, meaning the person is prohibiting something. La tamna'u, do not prohibit. Nisa'akum, your women. Yani from going to the masajid. And masajid is the plural of masjid. Naam. From going, from attending the masjids, the places of worship. Wa buyutuhunna, and their houses are better. Yani lahunna, for them. Yani their houses, praying in their houses is better for them than going to the masjid for prayer. Naam. Yeah, yani meaning do not prevent them from going to the masjids for salat. Not here wow, but really it means even though their houses are better for them, but don't prevent them. If they ask permission to go to the masjid and there's no fear of harm or danger, then don't prevent them. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, do not prevent them. You are not allowed to prevent them unless there's a reason to prevent them, some danger or something that may be caused by them going to the masjid or on the way to the masjid or whatever, some kind of danger, something that's dangerous. In the absence of that, then it's not permissible. It is said and it's narrated authentically that the wife of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, she used to go to the masjid and some of the people said to her, why are you going to the masjid? And you know that Umar, he doesn't like you going to the masjid. She said, why doesn't he stop me? They said, he doesn't stop you because the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَمْنَعُوا نِسَاءَكُمْ. Yani he's not able to stop you. But if he was able to stop you, he doesn't want you to go to the masjid because he was very sensitive about his wife. He doesn't like her to be mixing, yani even in the public, going amongst the people going to the masjid. Okay, so the point is what? That unless there's a justifiable reason, a man is not allowed to prohibit his wife from attending the masjid. If there's danger or fitna or something, that's a different matter altogether, okay? And there are some other any narrations of hadith similar to this, that the best of the masajid, yani for the women, or the best place for the women to pray is in their homes. And there's some discussion about that, but yani for now will suffice for what we have here. Yani, is there any question about the meaning of the words? Okay, he said, is it Nisa? I mean, it is Nisa'akum, but why isn't it not Nisa'ukum? Naam, somebody answer. Help us, Abu Bakr. Because Nisa'akum is the maf'ulun bi from which verb? Tamna'u. And the maf'ulun bi, we said that grammatically it's I'rab, is maf'ulun bi is mansub. And the sign of it being mansub, the primary sign of nasb, is fatha. لا تمنعوا نساءكم يعني منصوب المساجد. Why is المساجد with فتح؟ Why is المساجد with فتح؟ ها؟ المفعول به الثاني. Second one. Do not prevent your women from the masjids. وبيوتهن خير لهن. Any other question about the words in this hadith before we look at the discussion? Yes. You want to recite it? Okay, we're not ready to recite yet, but fadl, you recite. Al-masajida.
Wait.
What?
Buyut.
What about the last word? Lahunna. Rawa Abu Dawud. Good. MashaAllah. Okay, let's recite it a couple of times, and then we're going to talk about yani the words as they explained it in the book. What are the meaning of the words and any grammatical points or anything like this? Okay. So let's just recite it together. An ibn Umar. رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد وبيوتهن خير لهن. طيب one more time. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد وبيوتهن خير لهن رواه أبو داود. طيب anybody want to recite from memory? From memory. Naam. Start with Mustafa. Everybody should be practicing right now while he's reciting. You should be going over it in your head trying to see if you can memorize it. Naam.
An ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la tamna'u nisa'akum al-masajida wa buyutukunna khayrun lakunna. Ra'ahu Abu Dawud.
Naam. Seven words. Ahsan. Somebody else. From memory. Nasir.
An ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
La tamna'u an-nisa'akum al-masajida.
Again.
La tamna'u
an-nisa.
La tamna'u nisa'akum
al-masajida.
Wa buyutuhunna khairun lahunna. Rawahu Abu Dawud.
Ahsant. Somebody else. Memory. From memory. Naam.
صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تمنعوا نساءكم مساجدا
المساجد
وبيوتهن خير لهن رواه أبو داود.
أحسن ما شاء الله. Anybody else? Somebody, one more. Faiz.
ابن عمر رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد.
Again.
لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد.
وبيوتهن
خير لهم. بيوتهن خير لهم. رواه أبو داود.
طيب أحسنت. Don't spray too much, Ahi, because that stuff is, you know, some people can't breathe with that. You can spray a little bit, but don't spray too much because it may affect some people. Spray the floor over here where he was. Move from there, brothers. Move from there. Faiz, move. Yeah, over there by the pole. Allahu musta'an. Okay, let's try to get back on track, huh? Please. I understand it's a distraction, but we gotta live with it for now, right? And this reminds us, I don't want to get sidetracked, but brothers, somebody, when we're in the masjid, somebody has to be responsible. And when something like this happens, people got to pay attention. Like from the very beginning, I was saying, pay attention to him. Saying, pay attention. I'm teaching the class, somebody has to pay attention to what's happening. Okay, somebody comes in that looks strange, acts strange, pay attention. Don't let anybody just walk in the masjid and nobody's paying attention. Huh? Allahu musta'an. That's the other thing. Huh? Alright, whatever. We're dealing with time, brother. So I'm just saying, as a reminder to us, please pay attention. From time to time, somebody may come in the masjid. Somebody has to be paying attention. Type this hadith that we just looked at from the notes that are mentioned in the book on page 26. The first word that came is mana'a, the past tense verb mana'a, which means to what?
Prohibit.
To prohibit, to stop, to prevent, to restrain somebody from doing something. Mana'a. Yamna'u, the mudari form of the verb yamna'u. And it has fatta in the past tense on the middle radical, the ayn, and it has fatta on the middle radical on the ayn of the present tense. That means it's fatha, fatha. In terms of the bab of this verb, it has fatha on the middle radical in the past tense, and also in the present tense it has fatha. Mana'a yamna'u. Keeping in mind that in the mudari, the vowel that's going to change is going to be the middle radical, the middle radical of the root. So that's why we're looking at the middle radical, because this is what might change in the past tense and in the present tense. Okay, so the past tense is mana'a, present tense yamna'u, and the amra imna. And the command form of the verb, we're not going to be able to explain it in detail today, but the command form of the verb depends on the middle vowel. Okay, when you look at this particular verb, it's mana'a yamna'u. Since it has fatha, يعني in the مضاري it's going to be عمنا. Okay, if it had ضمة in the مضاري as in دخل يدخل ضمة in the middle, it would be أدخل ضمة ضمة. If it has كسرة as in نزل ينزل with كسرة, it would be إنزل. Okay, it would be كسرة كسرة. So the فعل عمرة, it might be with two كسرات as in إنزل from نزل ينزل إنزل. Or it could have two dhammas as in dakhala yadkhulu udkhul, or it could be here like in this case with and it has fatha yani as in this particular verb mana'a yamna'u imna, and likewise if it has yani fatha from the bab kasra fatha as in shariba yashrabu ishrab. So there are three ways it may come. It may come, the command form may come with kasra fatha as in this case imna, and the same thing with ishrab, or it may come dhamma dhamma as in udkhul ukhruj ud, like verbs like this, or it may come kasra kasra as in inzil. So this is just a passing note, I need to remind you that the command form of the verb, it may take different forms depending on the letter of the middle radical, the ayn of the root of the mudari verb. So here we have this verb mana'a yamna'u ماضي مضاري the فعل عمرة إمنا. And for example, in the use of this verb تقول, you say for example منعني المدرس الخروج. يعني there's a printing mistake here. The first word after تقول should be منع 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 منعني, should be منعني يعني المدرس, the teacher has prevented me or prohibited me الخروج يعني exiting, going out. The teacher has prohibited me from exiting. يعني the meaning of الخروج here is that he has prohibited me أن أخرج يعني from going out. الخروج, he has prohibited me from going out. Or you may say منعني المدرس من الخروج. Notice that in the first way it is expressed مَنَعَنِي الْمُدَرِّسُ الْخُرُوجَ. الْخُرُوج here has fatha, it's mansoob. يعني this masdar خُرُوج is mansoob because of what? يعني because it is the مَفْعُولٌ بِ. In the second expression it came مَنَعَنِي الْمُدَرِّسُ مِنَ الْخُرُوج, the same word خُرُوج, but here it's مَجْرُوع because of the preposition حَرْف جَ مِن. So both ways are correct. You may express it either way. You may say مَنَعَنِي الْمُدَرِّسْ الْخُرُوجِ or مَنَعَنِي الْمُدَرِّسْ مِنَ الْخُرُوجِ. And you may also use the مَسْدَى مُؤَوَّلْ and you can say مَنَعَنِي الْمُدَرِّسْ أَنْ أَخْرُجَ or مِنَ الْأَخْرُجَ. نعم. طيب, after this, the second word that's given here is نِسَاءُ. النِسَاءُ. النِسَاءُ means the women, okay? You say the women because it has alif lam, which is definite, right? The women. An-nisa is a plural word, and its singular is imra'atin. Imra'atin. Yani an-nisa is the jam'u of imra'a. Nisa is the plural of imra'a. The singular imra'a, if it has alif lam, it has a different form, a little different form, right? This is the word that we're looking at, an-nisa, right? And notice that this is the plural, an-nisa, and it has no resemblance whatsoever to imra'a. Yani it's singular, right? Imra'a. It has no resemblance, nisa and imra'a. And likewise, if it has alif lam, it also has a different form, yani Al-mara'atu. Yani if it has alif lam, imra'a, you don't say al-imra'a, you say al-mara'a. So that the hamzatul wasl in the beginning of imra'a, hamzatul wasl, is lost. And in this case, the ra here takes a sukoon. Imra'a is the singular if it is indefinite, nakira. Al-mara'atu is the singular if it is definite. So please make a note of this difference between the two singular forms, when it's indefinite and when it's definite. When it's indefinite, imra'ah. And when it's definite, al-mara'ah, al-mara'atu. Okay, so this is the second word they gave us, nisa, and nisa, the women, and it is the plural of imra'atin or al-mara'atu. The third word they gave us is buyutuhunna khayrun lahunna, and we said that buyut is the plural of bayt. Buyutuhunna, their houses, are khayrun lahunna, a meaning i.e. salatuhunna fi buyutihinna afdalu lahunna. Yani the meaning of buyutuhunna khayrun lahunna, it means salatuhunna fi buyuti. Fi buyutihinna. Yani it means their prayers in their houses are afdal. Yani khayrun afdal lahunna. Any question about these words? Any question about these words? Now. Yeah, al-mar'atu and imra'a mean the same, but imra'a is indefinite, nakira, and al-mar'atu is definite, ma'rifa. This is the indefinite form, this is the definite form. Both of these are singular, and an-nisa is the plural. Any other question? Jazakallah khair. Huh? Hold on 1 second, Faiz. Yeah, A means, it means you are defining something. In the same way in English, if you make a statement and you say I-E, yani I dot E dot, it means that is. It means that is. Yani you're explaining something. So here, yani we are saying that buyutuhunna khayrun lahunna, I-E, that is, the meaning is, their prayers in their houses are better for them than their prayers in the masjid. Okay, let's go on to the questions at the bottom of page 26. The first question being, or yani the first section of questions, أجب عما يأتي, answer concerning what follows. The first question, أيجوز للمرأتي. Notice المرأتي, yani when it has lam with yani the preposition li before it, it loses the alif also. It loses the alif from L, became للمرأتي. أيجوز للمرأة أن تصلي في المسجد. What is the meaning? أيجوز للمرأة أن تصلي في المسجد. نعم. Is it permissible? أيجوز. أيجوز. From جاز يجوز. أيجوز للمرأة. Is it permissible for the woman أن تصلي, to pray في المسجد, in the masjid? Okay, who wants to answer this question? Now, Musa.
نعم يجوز للمرأة أن يصلي في المسجد.
طيب, he said نعم يجوز للمرأة أن يصلي في المسجد. يعني yes, it is permissible for women to pray in the masjid. Number two, أيهما أفضل للمرأة. What is the meaning? أيهما أفضل للمرأة. Which, أيهما, which of the two of them is better? يعني أفضل خير للمرأة, for the woman. Which of the two? أن تصلي في بيتها أم أن تصلي في المسجد. What is the meaning? Now, which of the two is better for the woman? For her to pray in her house, in her home, or for her to pray in the masjid? Now, Shu'aib. Naam. Al-afdal lil-mar'ati an tusalliya fi baytiha. Fi al-bayt. La shakka anna salataha fi al-bayt afdal min صلاتها في المسجد. Question number three. أذكر حديثا في جواز صلاة المرأة في المسجد. What is the meaning? نعم. Mention a hadith في جوازي concerning the permissibility of Salat al-Mar'ati, the prayer of the woman, fil masjidi, in the masjid. Somebody mentioned this hadith. Who didn't read the Abu Bakr? Now. Now. رضي الله عنهما. صلى الله عليه وسلم. النساءكم. مسجدا ومساجدا. أها. طيب. جزاك الله خير. Okay, let's turn to page 27. Question number 4. أكمل الحديث لا تمنعوا. This is a chance for somebody else to recite. أكمل الحديث. What is the meaning? أحمل الحديث. Complete the hadith لا تمنعوا. That begins لا تمنعوا. شعيب, you didn't recite it yet. تفضل.
لا تمنعوا. لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد. وخير وبيوتهن خير لهن.
نعم. لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد وبيوتهن خير لهن. خير لهن يعني prayer in their houses is better for them. رواه أبو داود. And we said that it's also the same hadith is also narrated by يعني others, right, including الحاكم in his مستدرك and البيهقي in his سنن and Al-Imam Ahmed in his Musnad. طيب, fifth question. الصحيح أم خطأ ما يأتي. What is the meaning? الصحيح أم خطأ. Is it correct or incorrect? A mistake. What follows? Okay, there are some sentences follow. We want to know, is it صحيح, correct, or خطأ, incorrect, a mistake. Okay, somebody read the first sentence and tell us, is it صحيح أم خطأٌ. First sentence. Who will take the first one? نعم. نصير.
نمنع النساء من الصلاة في المساجد.
نعم. What is the meaning? نمنع النساء من الصلاة في المساجد.
Our women.
نمنع. نحن نمنع. What is the meaning?
We prohibit.
Our women and Nisa.
Oh, the women.
The women. We prohibit the women. What is the meaning? Anybody? Oh, we prohibit the women from the salat, the prayer in the masjids. Sahihun am khata? هذا خطأ. Clear. Somebody take the second one. نعم. عبد الرحمن.
لا نمنع النساء.
يعني نساء here is the مفعول به منصوب.
لا نمنع النساء من الصلاة في المساجد.
لا نمنع النساء من الصلاة في المساجد. What is the meaning?
We do not prevent the women from praying salat in the masjids.
Is it sahihun am khata'un? Sahih. It is correct. Okay, the third one. Nobody on this side? Naam. Huh? Yes, this side. Huh? You want to read?
Yeah.
Third one, go ahead. Murshid.
صلاه المراه في المسجد افضلهم.
طيب, read it one more time though.
صلاه
No, you said it right. صلاه
المراه في المسجد افضل.
أفضل. نعم. صلاة المرأة في المسجد أفضل. What is the meaning?
The meaning is the prayer in the masjid is better.
The prayer of whose prayer in the masjid is
better?
the prayer of the women in the masjid is better. صحيح من خطأ. خطأ. This is a mistake. Last sentence. Somebody. موسى.
صلاة المرأة في بيتها أفضل.
صلاة المرأة في بيتها أفضل. صحيح من خطأ. صحيح. Okay. Question number 6. The last question of the first section of questions. Question number 6. من الصحابي الذي روى الحديث لا تمنعوا to the end of the hadith. من الصحابي. نعم مصطفى.
هو عبد الله بن عمر.
نعم هو عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما. نعم يعني الصحابي الذي روى الحديث لا تمنعوا to the end of the hadith هو عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما. Second part of the question, ومن المحدث الذي أخرجه. What is the meaning of من المحدث الذي أخرجه? Who is the collector? The scholar of hadith who collected يعني this hadith. نعم أبو بكر. أبو داود. المحدث الذي أخرجه أبو داود. نعم. وإمام أحمد وإمام حاكم والبيهقي. نعم طيب جيد. I just wrote a note here on the bottom, Wal-Hakim, Wal-Bayhaqi, Wal-Ahmad, just to remind us, these are some of the other books that this hadith with this wording was collected in. And there are other wordings that are similar in other books of hadith. And even part of this hadith, the first part of it, is even collected by Al-Bukhari. But not the whole of it. Tayyib, after this, second set of questions, two questions. First question, Ma Mufradu An-Nisa'i. What is the meaning of the question first? What is the singular of the word An-Nisa? What is its singular? Naam, Murshid. Imra'a. Okay, the singular of An-Nisa is Imra'a. Or, if it is definite, Al-Mar'a. Al-Mar'atu. Yani, the singular. If it is indefinite, Nakira, we say it is Imra'atun. If it is definite, Al-Mar'atu. Yani, Imra'a or Al-Mar'atu. If it is definite with Alif Lam. The second question, Mana'a Al-Mudiru At-Tullaba Min Ad-Dukhuli. What is the meaning? Mana'a Al-Mudiru At-Tullaba Min Ad-Dukhuli. Now, the principal prohibited the students from exiting. Okay, quickly, what is the i'rab of al-mudiru huna? What is the i'rab, the grammatical position of yani al-mudiru? Naam. Fa'il. Okay, what else do we say? I'rab is the fa'il. Yani majrur, mansub, what? Marfu'un. Nominative case. And the sign? Walamatu rafi'i dhamma. طيب, what is the i'rab of at-tullab? Complete i'rab. Mafulun bi. Mansub wa lamatu nasbi fatha. And what is the i'rab of ad-dukhuli? It's ism majrur. Because of min, ism majrur, wa lamatu jarrihi kasra. طيب, this question, مَنَعَ الْمُدِيرُ التُّلَّابَ مِنَ الدُّخُولِ. The question says, يعني, after this statement, the principal prohibited the students from entering. احذف من الجملة الحرف من. احذف, what does this mean? Take off, omit, delete from the sentence Al-harf min, the particle min, yani the preposition min. Take it out of the sentence, wadbat, and then make precise, yani vowelize al-kalima or kalimat ad-dukhul. And then vowelize what? The word ad-dukhul. And in other words, they say rewrite the sentence without the word min, without the word min. Naam. Mustafa.
Tulaba dukhula.
نعم منع المدير الطلاب الدخول يعني من الدخول became الدخول without من يعني استمفعول به منسوب ولامة نصبه فتحة جيد. Okay, any question about this hadith in the few minutes that's remaining? What time is the Iqama? 1:15. طيب موسى. The last sentence, المفعول الأول والمفعول الثاني. Any other question about the hadith? Yeah, it means entering. Okay, it's the masdar. Okay, to enter, يعني the verb to enter is dakhala. Dakhala yadkhulu. But here we have dukhul, which is the masdar, the infinitive, meaning like entering, exiting, rising, descending, right? It's a noun that has the meaning of action. Has the meaning of action. Entering. But to enter is a verb. This is not a verb. This is a noun, right? It's a masdar. Tayyib. Any other question about this, or the wording of the hadith, or the meaning of the hadith? Okay, just... Naam, Faiz.
What is the masdar of
mana? Mana, man, with sukoon on the noon. Man, with sukoon on the noon. Man'un, naam. Huh? Naam. Tayyib, just a couple of points quickly, yani about this hadith. And some of the scholars, Sheikh Al-Albani, in discussing the fiqh of this hadith, mentioned a long discussion concerning it. He said that, yani actually he wasn't talking about this hadith specifically, he was talking about the masjids, the ahkam of the masajid. And from one of the second point that he mentioned concerning it is the women coming to the masjid. And he said that the women coming to the masjid are permissible with conditions. And the first condition that he mentioned is that the women are permissible, are permitted to come to the masjid, but as long as they do not, what? They do not, yani, wear perfume. As long as they do not perfume themselves. He said, from the conditions, the first one is that the women do not go out, or they should go out without perfuming themselves. يعني متطيبات ولا متبرجات, and not displaying themselves, meaning the clothing that they wear should not display that which is not permissible to be displayed. So the women are permissible to go to the masjid, but number one, they should not perfume themselves, so that when they walk through the streets or they go amongst the people, then the scent of their perfume will attract people, men, to their attention. And they should not, yani, fall into the yani sin of tabarruj, that is, dressing in a way that they make themselves attractive to be looked at by men. Yani not dressing properly, but rather they must dress properly. And the Shaykh mentions, from amongst the proofs of this, he said, if any one of the women go to the masjid, then they must la tamassa tiban, they must not touch or use on themselves any sweet-smelling scent. They must not touch themselves with any sweet-smelling scent. And this hadith is narrated from Zainab al-Thaqafiyyah, the wife of Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma. And the hadith is reported by Imam Muslim and Nasa'i, Abu Awana and Ahmed and others. The second condition he mentioned is that they must seek permission from their husbands. And it is obligatory upon the husband to give them permission. But they must seek permission. They must not just go on their own without permission. They have to ask permission. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "La tamna'u," yani don't prevent them. Meaning, if they ask you, don't prevent them. But they have to ask. And the Shaykh, yani, didn't just use the what may be understood, the mafhum of this hadith. If the Prophet ﷺ said, "Don't prevent them," that means that you have the ability to prevent them, but don't do it. So if they ask permission, don't prevent them. So you might understand from that they have to ask permission, but the Shaykh, he went further than that, and he brought a clear hadith that mentions such that the women have to ask permission. And he said in another narration, لَتَمْنُوا نِسَاءَكُمْ الْمَسَاجِدِ بِاللَّيْلِ, during the night. Yani don't prevent them even from going to the masjid during the night. إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَكُمْ, yani if they ask permission, if they ask for إذن. Don't prevent them if they ask for permission. To the end of the hadith. Yani similar hadith almost this, yani similar in wording, but except it has this additional wording of, yani don't prevent them during the night, إِذَا اسْتَعْذَنَكُمْ, as if they ask you permission. So he said these are two of the important conditions, and then he mentioned some other things. Yani he mentioned a narration in which it is reported that Bilal, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhum, he said that he will definitely, he said, Wallahi, I will prevent them from going to the masjid. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he said to his son that, or it is said that when he said that, in one of the narrations said that Abdullah, he stepped to his son and he verbally abused him. فَسَبَّهُ سَبًّا سَيِّئًا مَا سَمِعْتُ سَبَّ مِثْلَهُ قَطْ. Yani that he verbally abused him with an abuse, he said, I never heard. Yani he abused him harshly. Yani سَبًّا سَيِّئًا, that I never heard this kind of abuse before. And then he said, after doing this, he said, I inform you from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, don't prevent them. And then you say, Wallahi, you will prevent them. And in another narration, it says that, in the narration of Muslim and Ahmed, Allahumma fi sadrihi, that he struck him on his chest, his son, he struck him on his chest. And in another narration reported by Ahmed, he says that, فَمَا كَلَّمَهُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ حَتَّى مَاتَ. With isnad as-sahih, he said that Abdullah, he didn't speak to his son after that until he died. He never spoke to him again. And the reason why I mentioned this from amongst the pages that the Shaykh wrote about this particular affair is to show the severity of the matter of disobedience to the Messenger of Allah. Yani Abdullah bin Umar, he took the matter seriously. Sometimes our children say things to us and we just, yani, excuse it and pass over it. And certainly there are some things that can be passed over and excused, and there are other things that cannot be just excused. Because sometimes if we allow those under our authority to do things or say things that are evil, it will lead them on the road that leads to destruction. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, when he heard his son saying that, after I inform you that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not prevent them, then you say, Wallahi, you swear by Allah, you will prevent them? Say he never spoke to him until he died.
His son was an adult at the time.
Oh, okay. But I'm saying with our children, because it starts when they're young. If they're not disciplined and educated properly and reared properly, when they grow up, they will become out of hand and it will be too late. There won't be anything you could do with them then. There won't be anything that you can do at that point. When they are young, they are manageable. You know, you can work with them. You know, sometimes you can just talk to them, and sometimes you may have to spank them. Yani, not physical abuse. Yani, breaking bones and blacking eyes. No, we don't mean that. We mean, yani, a person who fears Allah. Yani, who wants to discipline the child to save them from destruction. Not, they want to punish the child like you punish a murderer or a rapist or a criminal. Nah. Yeah, that's another, there's another, also there's a narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had seen the condition of the women today, yani later on, the condition of the women, how they were, then he would have prevented them from going to the masjids. But in any case, this is a long discussion, we don't want to go into that now, but this is her thought, radiallahu anha, but I mean, we don't know. Yani she's saying, if the Prophet had seen it, he didn't see it. He didn't see it. So we can't say if he had seen it, he would definitely have prohibited them. Allahu alam. Rather, on the contrary, and Allah knows best, as many of the scholars of Sunnah said in reference to her statement, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what was going to happen in the future. And he could have easily revealed to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to prevent the women. Yani, but he didn't. But rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given us guidelines. The women should not go out perfumed, they should not go out with tabarruj, they shouldn't do such and so on, so they shouldn't be intermingling and so on. So as long as those rules and guidelines are observed, then whatever some of the women was doing in that time that Aisha was talking about, whatever some of the women were doing, not all of them, whatever they were doing, then that would have been stopped, because the Prophet ﷺ gave us guidance for these kinds of situations. In any case, we want to stop in a minute. Yeah, any a question? Yeah.
Huh?
I can't hear what you're saying. Elder women? What about elder women? Is what in regards to them? Going to the masjid? If she has somebody in charge of her, yeah.
Yeah, like somebody that's there's nobody there.
If there's nobody to prevent her, then there won't be anybody to prevent her, right? Yani the Prophet ﷺ is addressing the men who are responsible for women. Whether it's his wife or his daughter or his sister, whoever he's responsible for. He's in charge of her. Okay? That means he is the, what? Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. They are in charge of the women to protect them and to maintain them and to spend upon them and to do whatever is necessary that a woman needs from her father or her husband or her brother. Men are responsible to do that. Yani women are not responsible to take care of themselves. They are not responsible to protect themselves. No, men are responsible for this. Okay? But if a woman doesn't have anybody responsible for her, then who is he addressing? He's addressing those who are responsible. So that means that, yani if there's people in the society that have nobody responsible for them, in the Muslim society, then the ruler is responsible and whoever he has appointed to take care of these affairs. Naam. But as long as there's somebody responsible, then they will be called to account on Yawm al-Qiyamah for the women that are under their care. That did they take care of them? Did they maintain them? Did they provide for them? Did they protect them? They will be called to account for this now.
Oh, my question is, you mentioned perfume. Does using incense fall in the category of perfume?
Incense?
Yeah.
Yani putting it on their clothing or on their body?
Right before they go to the masjid.
They shouldn't do it. They shouldn't do it. They should not do it. Yani Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he saw a woman walking through the street, going to the masjid, perfumed. And he said some very harsh words to her. He told her to go back home and take a ghusl, like the ghusl that you take from Janabah. Okay, we're going to stop here because the Iqamah is in a few minutes. We'll give everybody a chance and we'll make wudu. Anything? Any question though before we close? Okay, last time for this hadith, we just want to make sure. Inshallah we'll get it. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد وبيوتهن خير لهن رواه أبو داود. Okay, inshallah, we're going to just take 1 minute now and try to look at the hadith for next week, so that anybody who wants to prepare for the hadith for next week, it's hadith number 12 on page 28. It's the hadith of Abu Huraira, and it is muttafaqun alayh. Yani an Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu qala qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama salatun fi masjidi hadha. Yani salatun fi masjidi hadha khayrun min alfi salatin fi ma siwahu illa al-masjid al-haram. Muttafaqun alayh. Yani on the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, radiyallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, salatun fi masjidi hadha. Yani one salat in this masjid of mine, fi masjidi, my masjid hadha. Hadha is a not describing masjid, meaning one salat in this masjid of mine is khayrun, better, min alfi salatin, than 1,000 prayers, fi ma, in whatever siwahu is besides it. Yani in any other masjid besides it. Illa, except with the exception of al-masjid al-harama, except the sacred masjid in Mecca. Yani one salat in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ is better, not equal to, better than. How much better than? Allah only knows. It's better than, yani, 1,000 prayers in whatever is besides it. Yani fi ma siwahu, in any other masjid besides it, illa al-masjid al-haram, yani except the sacred masjid in Mecca, muttafaqun alayh. Any question about this hadith? Okay, we're going to stop here, inshallah. This hadith will be taken next week, huh? Siwahu means, yani besides it. Yani غيره, غيره. Siwahu means غيره, other than it. Other than it. In any masjid, فيما سواه, other than the Prophet's masjid. In any masjid, other than the Prophet's masjid, except the sacred masjid in Mecca. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Next week, inshallah, we're going to be reviewing. Today we reviewed what? Hadith number 5, 6, and 7. Next week we're going to be reviewing 8, 9, and 10. Next week, inshallah, we'll be reviewing the beginning of the class 8, 9, and 10. Please prepare for it.